today on Real Radio.
The fact of the matter is, some of you have been called to be leaders in the body of Christ. And the church of Thessalonica were folding their arms saying, oh yeah, I'm not going to follow that guy anywhere. And the point is that God had ordained these men. They didn't ordain themselves. And are you and am I willing to accept that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, with a message called How a Church Ought to Practice. The Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them to thrive as a church. What are the essentials for a happy, thriving church family? How can we make our fellowship more pleasing to the Lord? Without leadership, a family falls apart. Without the structure of a father, a home will go towards chaos. And without a mother leading the children, they'll be misled in how they think and act. Today, Pastor Jack explains what our responsibility is to those who are over us in the church. They are a gift to the church given by God. Therefore, we are to accept their appointment and pray for their spiritual guidance. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Well, Paul is finishing up his first letter to the Thessalonian church there, chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 12 to 15 this morning. And he is going to instruct us as pastors or leaders or church general, all of us. None of you are exempt this morning from this message. About how we ought to conduct ourselves and what we ought to practice as a church. Very important. How do we get people to do things? Do we get people to do things? Or we here at this church, are we trusting God to move and motivate by His Holy Spirit? We can do a lot of things to stoke the flesh. Well, you know, if you bring five friends in the next 2 months, well, you can win a bicycle. Churches do that, you know. If you just do this thing and we'll see to it that you get a whatever. That's carnal methods, carnal means. And then pastors wonder why their church is carnal. There is a way that God wants to work in the body of Christ. It is by His Spirit, and He will do the work. And no matter how we try in forming our committees or our clubs, we will come short until God has the reins. And people, this morning, in fact, let me see a show of hands. How many of you are not a pastor? Raise your hand this morning. You're not a pastor. Okay? Then this message applies to you this morning. Well, Jack, how do you know? You'll understand clearly in a moment. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 12. Paul says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are, number one, unruly. Number two, comfort the faint-hearted. Three, uphold the weak. Four, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. That's God's will for our lives as a church. Some of you are here this morning. You may be visiting. You may be the staff at Thessalonica, the pastor, the associates, the deacons, elders. In verses 14 and 15, he's speaking to us all, the church. Those of us this morning who can claim that we're Christians, this is what God's will is for our lives. You want to know what God's will is? We're going to see it right here. He's going to make it clear to us. But I want you to understand that Paul two times mentions brethren, a very dear term. It means family, family of God. We're all in this family. So we are all one. We all are in the same room right now. We're all in the same household. We're going to heaven. We're going to live together forever. I like what Chuck Mister says. He says, you know, being in a family, the family of God, we are so tight that we're thicker now in spirit than we could ever be in blood. And that's why some of us don't get along very well. We're so related. We're so family. And Paul's going to talk about that this morning. There's unruly people in the church. There's people who are weak. We're going to see what that means. There's people who are faint-hearted. There's people who need strengthening and help. And all of us, from time to time, I don't care who you are or who you think you are, all of us will be in one of these categories at some point in time, at any given time during our Christian experience. We need to understand that this is a portion of Scripture based upon leadership in a family structure, as he calls them brethren. And we need to realize this morning that Paul, in another place, encourages us to Timothy, in 1 Timothy, that we need to really view the church as we view our own homes. Our homes, like the church, should be the same thing. And you might say, well, gosh, Jack, I hope not, because I get a break getting away from my home, coming to church. Well, that's okay, and God will work on that. But as a minister and as a pastor and as a church, we all, of us together, we have got to be people who are walking in the same path, on the same course. And this is like a great family. In Martin L. Gross's book, The Psychology Society of the United States, he says there that there are 60,000 guidance workers in the American school system and another 7,000 school psychologists which say, when asked, do they feel that they're fulfilling the role of a substitute parent? Most of them said, yes, we are fulfilling the role of a substitute parent. Isn't that sad? Why is that the case? Because a parent is to be a leader of the home. Paul is going to lay out before us, and I want you to listen now because you have a tendency to tune me out on this next line here. Paul is telling us that the church is structured in a way in verses 12 and 13 that there is a leader, that there's a pastor that oversees the governing and the operation of the church. The moment you hear that and I hear that, we want to build up a wall because we have either been burned by ministry or ministers, or we are really a very ornery kind of people we are. We don't want to be told what to do. And people, if we were going to be a family, I'm supposed to be in God's government. I didn't make this up. God has ordained this to be so. I'm supposed to be the parent of this body. And there are others in this body. But just like in your home, we pray, your oldest, my oldest, takes out the trash cans because they're heavier and the younger one brings them in. Or someone does the windows, or someone does the dishes. There's delegation, and there's gifts, and there's callings based upon who we are in Christ. All of us have been saved by the grace of God. Make no mistake about it. But not all of us have the same calling. I did not ask God to make me a pastor. If you know my story in my life, I asked Him not to do that. And all of us who are Christians this morning will fit into this body and serve one another because we are a what? We are a family. And we need to practice what the Lord has given us to do. Beginning at verse 12, you can jot it down in your notes, verses 12 and 13 concerning what I would say just practicing homegrown leadership. I like the way that sounds. And I made that up all by myself. So I think that's pretty neat. Homegrown leadership is the way it ought to be. He says, and we, that is Paul and Silas and his ministry group, we urge you, we strongly beg of you, brethren, to recognize, he uses this word, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love. I like that verse. You have to love me. Well, I don't really like you. I didn't ask if you liked me. You have to love me. Well, I'm just kind of, hey, if I'm laboring in the word in front of you and before you, if I'm admonishing you, admonishing means to kind of kick you in the fanny a little bit. Can you imagine? No, I want it really fluffy and cute at church. Well, that's fine. But if it's a spirit-filled church, there's times when you're going to get a little. When God, by the Holy Spirit, through the pastor, begins to minister to his people, and he says, stop this. If you're doing this, you need to not do that. And if you, what you need is this and the other thing. I had a great opportunity this week. You would have had to have been there. It's not going to make any sense to you. But a lady called up, extremely distraught. And having questions about even living any longer. And it was just one of those moments. It was an interruption for me. I was totally in the mindset of some other direction. And this phone call came through. And I said, yes, what is it? And kaboom! And thank God, God took over, because I just said, I heard her story and I said, who do you think you are? What? Well, who do you think you are? Well, what makes you think you can take your own life? Are you a Christian? Yes. You can't do that. What right do you have? God owns your life. You've been bought with a price. He loves you. He thinks the world of you. How can you? And I'm just going off on this lady. And she got really quiet, and I thought, you know, oh, man, what's going on? And I felt so convicted is not the way, the word that normally, I had such a strong conviction to keep going in that direction at that intensity. And she says, okay. He does love me. I said, you bet he does. You can't think like this anymore. It's okay. You're going to be all right. And she was fine with that. Now, that's like an admonition, a little swift kick. But God has made me a parent regarding his work, regarding this place. It's not easy, and Paul's talking about it here. But the world is looking for leadership and parental care in our children. So many of our children are looking for care and for leadership, so much so that the school has got to have 67,000 people to reach out to our children. Just to say, remember your first day of junior high? When the counselor came up and said, if you need anything, let me know. Junior high orientation. I thought for a minute, well, I need $5. That's what I need so I can get a ride to the beach, but I didn't think that'd go over very well. But if you need me, you know, if you need anything, just see me. Well, wait, I had been taught if I need anything to see my dad. That's because I had a dad. And I have a dad. A lot of our kids don't have parents. Well, they may occupy a seat in the car or some armchair at home. But kids need leadership, and so does the church. We are a family. So he says to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now, why did Paul say this to them? Here's the tough thing, you guys, is because the church was so brand new and all of them had been saved with Paul's missionary outreach. Watch this. They all got saved with Paul's outreach. But God began to already call out from among all those who had been saved at the same time, leaders. Now, look around this body and think right now. Let's say we all got saved together. And God would call Curtis here to be a pastor, and Randy to be an assistant pastor, and John over there to be a deacon. But you all got saved together. In fact, if you knew John, and if you knew Curtis and Randy, their home was more messed up than your home. So how can they be the leader? That's why Paul wrote the letter to them. Look, you guys, he's saying, I know you all got saved at the same time, but the fact of the matter is some of you have been called to be leaders in the body of Christ. And the church at Thessalonica were folding their arms saying, oh yeah, I'm not going to follow that guy anywhere. And the point is that God had ordained these men. They didn't ordain themselves. And are you and am I willing to accept that? We're talking church family talk here this morning. If a pastor has violated you or the church on moral grounds, on ethical grounds, then I don't think you should stick around. But the fact of the matter is, you don't have to like him, but you are to recognize his position. I told you a couple weeks ago I had the chance to sit in Bill Clinton's chair. I don't necessarily like his policies, but when you sit in his chair, you get goosebumps because of the power of the position. And God is asking us as Christians to respect the position. And for some of us, we've grown up together. I'm looking at people in this crowd here. We have been here since the day we opened the doors together. And we've got a homegrown leadership going on right here. And the people, many of them who are in leadership in this church, they've been appointed to leadership because they're faithful to the prayer meetings. That's the criteria to be in leadership here, by the way. I don't care if you have a degree from APU or UPS. Do you attend the prayer meetings? It's so important. But what Paul is saying in verse 12 here is four things. I want you to jot them down, and it's going to take us a while to get through it, and then we'll just speed across to the end and finish up. Regarding this homegrown leadership that the Lord has brought together at Thessalonica, number one, jot it down. He says that we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. That is, we are to, number one, accept them. We are to be accepting of them. Not cynical, not judgmental, not critical. You may have come from a place where you're bringing in a cynical, critical spirit to a brand new work of the Spirit in your life here. And I'm going to ask you to leave it outside the door, not only for our sake, but for your own sake. You won't learn a thing here. Your heart will be so shut up and so strong against what God wants to do that He can't even talk to you. Leave it with the Lord outside these doors. And don't gossip. Don't say anything. Oh, I noticed you from my old church. Hey, oh, by the way, hey, that's sin. Leave it out. Leave it alone. We are to be accepting of what God is doing in our lives now. And we are to be accepting of those, he says, we are to recognize those who labor among us. The thought is this in the Greek, God has given gifts and they're his ministers and we're to accept them. That's strong language, isn't it? There's nothing that hurts more, at least for me anyway. I can't stand to have a gift refused. I don't give gifts very often, and when I give them, I mean it. And the thing that hurts the most is when somebody puts it back and says, that's okay. Why are you refusing that? I'll do fine. That hurts. God says, I've given you some gifts. They're ministers of mine, and you're to accept them. By the way, the true minister is dedicated to the building up of the church. In Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says, you know it well, Ephesians 4:11 says, and he, that is God himself, gave some, that's some of us, to be apostles. There's few of those around. I believe they're still here today, but there's few men who have apostolic type ministries. Some prophets, that is those who, like Billy Graham, proclaim the word of God in teaching, but also evangelists. You think of Greg Laurie. And some in the Greek, pastor teachers. Pastor teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, that's all of us people, the work of the ministry, to prepare them for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, I don't want to burst your bubble, but am I or the staff here supposed to do everything? Not according to Ephesians 4:11 through 13. Our job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. You. But I have my full-time job. I know, isn't that neat? And you're to do this thing anyway. We have no problem making time to golf. Though we did last Monday, and I'll never make time again to golf. That was a tragedy. One guy had it right. He knew he was going to be near me, so he brought a helmet. We have the time to check out the latest video or movie. You see? The passion of our heart, is it to be a minister of Jesus Christ? Hey, man, we're all ministers of His. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? We're ministers. And I know some of you, man, you're just going around ministering everywhere you go. You drive through Taco Bell and you hand them a $5 bill with a track. I love that. That's ministering. Somebody falls down and gets hurt. You pick them up. That's serving. It's great. We are all ministers. And the body is to be edified. First of all, this word equipping in Ephesians 4:12 is the word to make thoroughly complete, to complete the job, to finish the repair, or to fix what is broken. It also means, and if there's any chiropractors in here, it's kind of a neat word, the word also means to realign after something's been knocked out of shape or condition, to prepare, to restore, to make ready for battle, to hold up the armor. That's what I'm to be doing. I'm to be equipping you, it's what we're doing right now, to hold up your armor. Because we're all ministers. The next thing he says in Ephesians is the work of the ministry. The word work means to toil hard, to minister. The word means to be giving to others that they might have relief. That's what the word means in the Greek. It's perfectly lived out. I got a little thing that I don't know, maybe you've read it. I haven't read it yet, so I invented this. I think the neatest thing to see as an example of a Christian is the silent work and witness of a waiter or a waitress. In that category are also doctors and nurses. But a waiter comes up to your table and says, can I help you with anything? Are you okay? What can I do for you? Fill your cup? I like the ones who don't even talk to you because you're usually talking over the meal. They don't sit. They just walk up there and they're... And you've got fresh this and a fresh that and a thing. And then the guy brings you the, you know, a little napkin to wipe your hand. Oh, man, this guy's, I've never done this before. Who's this guy? Who is this guy? And I like to go tell the manager, hey, Frank is awesome. I told that at a restaurant the other day. We were at Claim Jumper. I went, hey, Frank is awesome. I had to tell that guy. It blessed me. We need to be like that. We don't need to sit back and wait for somebody to ask us. You see a need? You know why God allowed your eyes to see that need? For you to do something about it. Well, they got a paid staff here. They can do it. It's for you to do. And here's a little trickaroo. You start serving the body of Christ, and you know what? All of a sudden, you feel like you're part of the family, and this is your home. The next thing that he says in Ephesians 4 is that to the edifying of the body. The word edifying is a tremendous word. It's in the feminine gender. That's interesting. Gently, compassionately. It means to, by meaning of design or a structure, to build a building or a pedestal to display something valuable on. That's the word edify. To the edification of the body. To put the body up and to have them displayed. That is the purpose of those of us who serve. That the body might shine and show forth Jesus Christ. Isn't that tremendous? We are to be like that big thing out there in Barstow with all the reflectors, whatever that thing is. It's got has something like 200,000 mirrors pointed at it, and it's like boiling water in the middle. Have you seen it? It's tremendous. And all that thing does, if you glance at the sun and then you glance down at that thing, you can't tell the two apart. They're exactly the same. You want to know why? It's reflecting the face of the sun. And it's like the sun 200 feet off the ground. And that's what the church on a pedestal is to do, is to reflect the sun to the world. That's what a minister, that's why we're supposed to be on the bottom of the list, pushing you guys up so that you can shine, while all of us down here are the leathernecks or the grunts, the elephants that are holding up the world. Paul says, by the way, he's chosen foolish people to do this. That's me. That's how I got here. Jesus used this word regarding building up. The disciples used this word. Matthew 24, they went out to show him the buildings of the temple. That's the word. The pedestal, the display of the temple. Very important. We could go on and on about this, but the second thing is this. We are to appreciate them. We're not only to accept them, we are to appreciate them. The word recognize is that word. To recognize is to respect them for their position, their calling, and their gifting by God. It's acceptable to respect the spiritual leaders within the church as long as God gets all the glory for what is being done in the church. If there's somebody walking around in the church who's supposed to be a leader saying, yes, look at this kingdom I've built, then that is a weird duck. He's got something wrong. It's gone to his head instead of his heart. We were in Russia, and Brett Williams was just doing a great job, and everything's just going great. And I told him, I said, Brett, that was the best just time of music that I've ever heard. And he said, praise the Lord, man. I said, just let it go to your heart, not your head. And he goes, wow, I needed that. I'll remember that. We need to remember that. If God is doing a work in us and here in this church, if we're right and humble, it will go to our hearts and not our heads.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Practice. Thanks for listening. And you know, if you always pursue good and stay in church fellowship, you'll be loved, encouraged, and supported in your walk of faith. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Here's something that we'd love you to do. Go to YouTube and search for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel. Search for that and then subscribe if you would. And every time Pastor Jack comes out with something new on YouTube, you'll get a notification and you can head on over and see what's going on. Pastor Jack's got some great stuff on YouTube. If you like listening to him on the radio, you're going to like his videos too. I promise you that. Don't forget to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.